I want to talk today about a miracle in the renewable energy space happening before our eyes, and I am sure a miracle that most people have no idea is happening in front of our eyes. But first, I have a quick rant about service providers. You know them, lawyers and law firms, accountants and accounting firms, consultants and consulting firms and strategic consultancy firms, but also executive search firms, investment banks, technical advisors on projects, rating agencies, all that ecosystem of advisors and service providers who essentially earn fees for their services. These service providers are obviously all over the energy world, and not only the energy world, but let's just focus for a minute on the energy world. And one of my biggest frustrations in my day job is that it is incredibly difficult to hire a firm of lawyers, accountants, consultants, search firms, technical advisors, etc., or investment banks, which is entirely fossil fuel clean, where the top partners have the moral backbone and the financial backbone to just stay out of doing business with, at the very least, oil and gas companies. And so one of my frequent thoughts is, where are the committed climate action advocates who work at these service providers in terms of starting green versions of what they do? In other words, a law firm that has zero oil and gas or oil and gas related business and doesn't defend them, for example. Accountants that have zero oil and gas business or related business. And so on, for the consultants, the strategic consultants, the technical advisors, and the investment banks. I am, of course, aware of maybe two or three. And the private sector should try to send more business their way. But they're far too few to be actually competitive in terms of reach and credibility. This type of reach and credibility is not built in one day, but we have to get on with it. And so this is a shout out to those of you listening who can go and start up their green law firms and green accountancy firms and green consultancy firms and green investment banks and green technical advisory firms and what have you. You have a big potential market out there, a huge potential market, if you just get on with it. Thank you. And that's the end of my service provider rant, which allows us to come back to the clean energy miracle unfolding in California. Welcome to episode 82 of the Angry Clean Energy Guy podcast with me, Asad Razouk. I am so happy you're here. Thank you. I have a lot of time for a Stanford professor called Mark Jacobson. Mark has been using his social media channels for the past 40 days or so to broadcast the fact that we have had two clean energy miracles unfolding in California. But that story has, not amazingly at all, not been picked up all over the world the way it should have been and the way I hope it will be. The International Energy Agency should be publishing papers about this. IRENA, the same thing. The Asian Development Bank, the African Development Bank, the World Bank, the IFC, AIIB, all of them, they should be all over this and they should be trumpeting it. Because guess what happened? Two miracles, not one, but at least miracles for the majority of the public. those of us in the space don't really rate this as a miracle, more as an inevitability, something that was always going to happen, but perhaps wasn't clear to most people. The first renewable energy triumph is that over the past 40 days or so, California has, for multiple hours of the day, actually been powered by 100% clean energy. Now, I want to pause there because this is something that as recently as maybe, I don't know, 3 years, 2 years, people probably say it today still, so many thought could never happen. Well, guess what? The world's fifth or sixth or seventh largest economy, the state of California, has been powered by 100% renewable energy for at least 32 out of the last 40 days. Now, let me explain what that means. That means that the entire state of California electricity system was using 100% solar power, wind power, hydropower, and batteries on its main grid for an average of just under 4 hours across that whole period. So you could put those arguments about intermittency and unreliability and grid stability and so on straight in the garbage bin. This is factual, data-based evidence that we can have a global electricity system powered 100% with clean energy, which is mostly composed of fuels that we don't pay for, and they're called the sun and the wind. And that's just the first renewable energy triumph. The second one, which is just emerging, because to my knowledge, it's happened only once out of the 40 days so far. For a period around mid-April, California's largest source feeding the grid, largest electricity source, was from batteries. That's something so many thought was impossible a few years ago, and maybe many think is impossible today, but guess what? It's happened. An entire state's energy system, where the number one source of electricity is actually a battery. Not a coal plant, not a gas plant, not even a solar power plant or a wind farm. A battery. Now, that's the first time ever that battery storage became the largest source of supply in the California grid. And remember, that's a grid that is delivering electricity to what is the world's number five or number six biggest economy. Let me give you a few more details about these renewable energy miracles. And they're important to understand what's actually going on. First, supply is exceeding demand. In other words, renewable energy sources alone are supplying everything in terms of electricity that California is using for periods of something like half an hour to 6 hours per day through that 40-day period. Or rather, as I said earlier, through 32 out of the last 40 days. So in other words, there have been days when for up to 6 hours per day, the entire state of California electricity was powered by electricity, wind, or hydro, plus batteries. And so this continuity that we're talking about is not, to be clear, that renewables are running the grid yet for 24 hours, but the fact that it's happening on a consistent daily basis. This is something that I cannot emphasize enough. It has never happened before. And not only that, so many have said that it was never going to happen, and they are now decisively proven wrong. And what makes it even better is that California has the largest grid-connected battery storage system in the world. And so what that means is you're filling those batteries more and more with excess energy from solar power and wind power and hydropower. So not only do you have the fifth or sixth largest economy in the world being powered for hours a day on a consistent basis by 100% renewable energy, but in addition, its batteries are increasingly being fueled by cleaner and cleaner energy. Now, legally, California has already passed a law that commits the state to achieving 100% net zero electricity by 2045, so 21 years from now. But the numbers you just heard actually indicate that California most likely, and there I'm just agreeing with Professor Jacobson, will entirely be powered by renewables and battery storage 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week, by 2035. So in 11 years, not 21 years. And what's even more amazing is that California is a growing economy, right? It's been growing more or less without any setback for the last 25 years. So you have a growing economy with falling emissions. And those emissions are just going to continue to fall. So we can power the world with 100% renewable energy, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. They're either ignorant or they're getting paid to say that. And remember, we haven't really properly gotten started yet. We still don't have vehicle-to-grid technology, for example, at scale. That's technology that would take the battery of your electric cars to manage renewable energy demand. So you can actually use the battery to power your house, and then you can switch back to filling the battery to drive your car. What that means, in effect, is if there was no power from the grid, your house would still have electricity because you would just pull that electricity from the car. So that V2G technology, vehicle to grid, is not yet deployed at scale. Imagine how these numbers that I just described are going to change once it is. Because what V2G technology will do is it's going to keep improving the stability, the reliability, and the efficiency of the electricity system. And in addition, to give you another example of why we haven't really gotten started properly yet, remember that it's hard to describe or even conceptualize the sheer scale of what's happening today in the battery storage world. Did you know, for example, that we're commissioning new battery storage factories today at a rate which is 18 times per year what we were commissioning 5 years ago? Or did you know that we're building 400 gigafactories as I speak? That alone is a capacity to make 9 terawatt hours of batteries per year by 2030. That's only 6 years away now. And that means 1 kilowatt hour for every person on the planet from this alone. And in the battery world, we also have everything we need to scale up, because reaching net zero will only take 1/4, 25% of today's lithium, about 1/3 of nickel, and another 25% of known cobalt resources. So we're doing it, and we have everything that we need. And even if we did not have everything that we need, we're developing higher battery energy densities, and so that means they need fewer minerals. And battery recycling is a huge emerging thing, and that will alleviate and cut demand for new mining. And then on top, you've got new battery chemistries coming out, such as sodium ion, iron, LFP cathodes, and silicon anodes. And these diversify demand for minerals. And so the battery cell learning rate is up from 19% to 29% over the past two decades. And what that means, to make a long story short, is that the massive deployment of batteries is underway and is unstoppable. And those batteries not only will electrify multiple sectors, and we're talking cars and light and heavy trucks and scooters and grid balancing storage and trains and eventually ships and planes even, but they're also going to keep improving inevitably California's numbers. And that's why powering California with 100% clean electricity by 2035 is actually achievable. And so once again, when you hear people claim that solar and wind and batteries cannot power an entire country, they either need to go off and do their research because they're behaving in an ignorant fashion, or they're getting paid. One of my favorite examples of getting paid to say that is the strategic consultancy firms. Everything they say on the energy transition is suspicious because they'll say anything and they'll research it to look good, but it's crap. Just pick up a random carbon capture and storage report from McKinsey or one of those. And what is going on in California isn't just going on in California as far as the United States is concerned. So for example, Texas is clearly on its way to get 50% of its electricity from solar and wind with batteries. And Texas, as you know, isn't just any place. It is the eighth largest economy in the world. So these clean energy miracles are happening in enormously large economies. And the 100% renewables train has already left the station. I'd like to close this podcast episode with a story I read the other day. And the headline of the story was that the ex-CEO of Shell, Van Beurden, joined KKR, the private equity firm, and listen to this, to advise on climate investments. That was so entertaining, I labeled it the climate joke of the week. Because this is the very same CEO, at the time, a Dutch court ordered Shell to actually do something about climate. But instead, that very same CEO dragged his feet through appeals to ensure he and Shell do less than nothing. And so now, Mr. Van Beurden is going to be joining private equity group KKR as a senior advisor for energy transition investments. And the article adds that this is his first corporate role since stepping down from the oil and gas major. I mean, frankly, Ben has no shame. I mean, this is beyond parody. I had to look at that headline twice to just believe it because I just went, what? So we're addicted to drugs, the drugs being fossil fuels. We're doing our best to get rid of those drugs, but we bring in the drug dealer to give us some advice. Honestly, this is tragedy. Funny, but tragic nonetheless. Ben Van Beurden has been for something like 40 years actually wrecking the environment on a daily basis. That was his job. And he was so good at doing it, he ran the whole shop. And now he's going to get paid to try and fix his own sins. Come on. We need to call out these things when we see them because we are in the midst of a climate emergency, which is only getting worse. And this type of behavior really has to just stop. Now, at the same time, you can see that solar and wind and batteries are winning. And they're winning because they're cheaper and they're better and they're cleaner. But everything that slows down their progress and accelerating that winning is putting lives at risk. And that is why these things make me angry. And so on that note, thank you for listening to this episode 82 of the Angry Clean Energy Guy podcast with me, Asad Razouk. And have a great couple of weeks.